Now, those of you who listen to this later will know it started right in the middle. But, Scott, it did happen because I had to hold on to it. I joke, of course, about being a stranger in a strange land. I'm not strange, nor are you strange. But we need to remember that Thanksgiving is always about looking back. The people of God that this portion of Isaiah was written to were people who were coming back from exile. They were coming back from being separated from everything that they knew, and they still didn't have a lot of confidence that everything was going to be okay. They still wondered. And so through the prophets, and Isaiah is like the peak of Old Testament prophets with the promises and the teachings about God, they were trying to constantly remind them that they should look back and remember all the things that God had done for them. Now, he didn't ask them just to look back to last year's Thanksgiving dinner. He asked them to look back to Abraham and Sarah, the very beginning of God's family that he was create to be a light unto the nation. He was asking them to look back to the quarry from which they were hewn. Now, sometimes when pastors think about people being hewn from quarries, what do we think? Well, yes, because they're so hard-hearted that you got to keep chipping away at them before they finally get the message that is there. And that's exactly the message that the prophets had almost continuously. We got to keep chipping away because you're tempted to forget where you came from. You're tempted to forget all that has already happened. So whenever we gather for Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving means a lot of different things for a lot of different people. I happen to be reading an article in one of my newspapers today about Thanksgiving and the different ways that people looked at it. And it was a reminder that even in the original Thanksgiving, it was the people that were already here that were helping the people that had come from somewhere else to be able to survive. And they said if they had to do it over again, they're not sure they'd make that same decision. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Because it led to some pretty awesome outcome for some of those folks. But when we think about it, most of us don't really think about Jamestown. We think about all the Thanksgivings we've ever had, and we think about what it means to come together by and large. Now, I have to say by and large, because not everybody is going to have a family to gather with on Thanksgiving Day, because there are a whole lot of different reasons why people might do something different. And if you ever find yourself in that position, you might understand anew that things can be different. Quite a number of years ago, I want to say 15 or more, I'm not really 100% sure, but a long time ago, my wife's mother died, and we went to Georgia for her funeral, and it happened to be the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And so after we went there, then we went back to my mother's house, but we needed to get back because I had to preach the following Sunday. So on Thanksgiving Day, we were at my mother's house and we needed to get on the road, and my mother just was not able to put a Thanksgiving meal on the table, not even a pecan pie. And so we went to a cafeteria for Thanksgiving Day. Now, my mother, who will be obeyed, said, we have to be there at 11 o'clock or we might have to stand in line. So we drove to the cafeteria, and our kids were like 14 and 6 at the time, I think. And the cafeteria door was still locked, but about 30 seconds before 11, people started pouring out of their cars, literally running to the door. Did they think they were going to run out of food in the first 5 minutes? I don't know. So we joined the crowd there and went through the line as they laid out their idea of a Thanksgiving dinner. It was not my idea, and it was not a great Thanksgiving. Well, it wasn't a great Thanksgiving because we had just buried a family member. We knew that we had a long drive ahead of us. We didn't know what we were going to make of it, and they didn't have cornbread stuffing. Well, how can you have Thanksgiving without cornbread stuffing? I ask you. But We sat, we went through the meal, and then we quickly went by the cemetery where my dad was buried, and then we hit the road. And that night, we had a proper meal at a Cracker Barrel in London, Kentucky. So we moved on. You see, you don't have any control over what's going to happen. You don't have any control over what's happening. So if you're lucky and you have all kind of family together, you should be giving thanks for that. One of the things, at least in my memory of Thanksgiving, is that as people come together, we share stories. We share stories. You see, sometimes we think that we have the most excellent memories. But sometimes the memories we have are built on the stories of people talking about the things that we have experienced. I once read that every memory we have is a memory of a memory, and every time we share it, we embellish it. Well, that explains an awful lot of things to me, because in my story, I'm hardly ever the problem. I'm hardly ever the problem. Is that brother of mine? He was we're like Esau and Jacob. That was the problem. It was never me. But think about the Thanksgiving you've had and the things you share and the things you remember. One of my uncles was named Elton. We called him Uncle Elton, as you might imagine. And he was as predictable as the day was long. He was the smallest of my uncles and the biggest eater of all. And he would stuff his face, and then he would push back from the table and reach in his pocket and come out with the Tums and said, "It's Tums time." I don't remember a lot else about Uncle Elton, but I can remember countless times watching him do that. And I won't even tell you the stories my mother told about my Uncle Elton, because I always thought they were flavored by maybe how she felt about Uncle Elton. Those kinds of things, as we gather, we remember. Isaiah is telling the people to look back regardless of what your current circumstance is. Remember what God has done and remember the lessons of that. You see, really, every week when we gather for worship, we are looking back at something that happened in the past, a long time in the past. And every time we go back to that story, we also think about all the different times we have heard it down through our lifetime. Now, some of you who are as old as me or older have experienced many different pastors in your life. And they have all told the story in slightly different ways, because they have different things that have happened in their life. They have different circumstances that might cause them to skew one way or the other. In my own life, because I am adopted, one of the things I remember is when Paul talks in the book of Romans about how wonderful it is to be adopted into the family of God. And so I like that analogy better than born again. Because I wasn't born again, I was born into or adopted into a new family. So as time goes by, I cannot say in the years ahead, because we don't have years together, because the CERT committee is going to do such excellent work that this time next year you'll probably be preparing for another change. But as the years go by, always remember that our telling of the story is influenced by our own experience. Our telling is influenced by the experience. Now, I can think about Isaiah, and I know the historical framework for it. But that's not where it intersects my life. It intersects my life by I can remember when I was in exile. One of my favorite songs, I don't know if it's even in our hymnal, is called "My Soul in Sad Exile." I was sailing on life's seas. You don't know it. Maybe it's a Southern thing. Maybe it's a Coast Guard thing. Sailing on the wide seas. My sea duty was on the Ohio River, so there weren't too many waves there washing us away. My soul was in sad exile out on life's seas, because I can remember a time when I was separated from God. And I can remember a time when God said, you are still mine, no matter what happened during that time of exile. And you will always be mine. And so that colors how I read Old Testament text. It colors how I read New Testament text. It colors how I deal with people. For one thing, I've got a high degree of flexibility. I have a high degree of flexibility because I've wandered. In Southern terms, we say we wandered far from the fountain. And you know what fountain you're wandering from, right? The one filled with blood. When you're wandering far from the fountain, you're not close to God. You're not giving God a thought. You're just kind of out there. And it is good news when God breaks through that and says, you're still mine regardless of what you might have thought about that. So, it's been a useful skill to have, because anybody who is a pastor will tell you that sometimes it's not very easy. And the reason it's not very easy is because some of you, not pointing any fingers, I just realized that I did, but some of you can be difficult to get along with sometimes. Some of you can be cantankerous. Some of you can be hard-hearted. Some of you can either be dismissive. You see, all those things that you can be. So after having me for a while, you're going to develop the flexibility that you won't ever be any of those problems. You will only be the kind of people that we love to deal with. Well, good luck with that. I'm trying to make sure the floor doesn't vibrate too much because it goes right directly to the sound here. I want to close in on this. Thanksgiving, by and large, in America today is a celebration of family and a celebration of let's be honest with it, sometimes the things that we have. The ability that we have to put a Thanksgiving meal on the table. The ability to pay. In my case, my family comes by and they provide a lot of things, but this year was our time to get the turkey. Why couldn't it have been last year when turkey was 69 cents a pound? But I got a nice 16-pound turkey because last year we didn't have enough leftovers. So since I was paying for it, I got a bigger one. And since I paid for it, I'm going to keep most of the leftovers as well. The kids don't know that yet, but I am. Those are the kinds of things you do. But also, because you're here today, we are reminded that it's also a celebration of all that God has given to us. And God has blessed us as a nation. He's blessed most all of us, I'd like to say all of us, with the things that we need for life itself. He's blessed my family. My wife and I were talking the other day. Keep in mind, my wife and I have been married 52 years. We've had 40 plus years of church experience. And our life is as good today as it has ever been. And Kathy said, do you think maybe that as things are so good today, it's because God is rewarding us for putting up with all the people we put up with over the years? She's not quite as flexible as I am. I will tell you, I love church people and I love this particular church family today because you are the church family I'm a part of. And I'm doubly blessed because I also love my son's church family. Because we're kind of still connected to both of those. And I don't envision that changing at any point. So when you think about, when you sit down at your Thanksgiving table, and most of you, I'm very much aware, probably will not have a pecan pie on the sideboard. I don't know what you'll have. You will! Very good. I just hope none of you have to have mincemeat. Oh. The very thought of it. The very thought of it. Okay. As you sit at your table, I hope you're surrounded by family and love. And when your children get rowdy, just be glad that they're there. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of this day. We thank you for being able to think about Thanksgiving and celebrating our families and our church family and our faith. Remind us that when we gather for that day, we are also called to look back to that which you have done for us and to recognize that your faithfulness is sure. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our last hymn is,
Let There Be Peace on Earth.
Let There Be Peace on Earth. 614. All rise.